Shepherd here with Michelle Miller McNair. Michelle, hey. Welcome back.
Yeah. It's good to be back, Will. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We survived the first go around, back for more. How are things?
It's fantastic, actually. It's really good. I thought the summer was going to be super duper slow because summers are typically slow in real estate, right?
I think there's a exhale from the school year ending and it's let's get to vacation mode and recharge our batteries. So there's I think there is a little bit of a downward.
Which didn't happen during the COVID years, apparently. And so when there was no slowdown during the COVID years, it's like trying to figure out what the new way of real estate is. It's like, oh, wait, before COVID, we actually did have a quiet time in the summer. So do you know, or what's your experience been of like, what are the slow times during the year for real estate?
There's the initial period out of the school year. Families are just trying to catch their breath, finish with tests, plan summer camps, plan vacations. So there's a mindset of let's just get out of town.
Oh, so like soon as school ends, it's like July, June, July.
Every family's different and all the schools end at a different time, but there's I'd say about a month period where it's a little bit of a lull, I would say. Not a full-on dead period, but then kind of 4th of July happens and everyone's all right. If we're going to make a move, let's get this done. Let's mm-hmm. get the house sold. Let's buy the house. Get into it before the school year starts so we can get the kids' bedrooms set up. We can, you know, get furniture placed and get ready for the school year and get settled for jobs.
Yeah, I noticed that. That right after the holidays, during the holidays and like Christmas, and that was slow. But as soon as that was done, people were like, okay, now let's do something.
Yeah.
But it's weird how slow it gets. And then it just picks up quick. Like there's all of a sudden your phone is ringing more than it did, which is a good problem to have. But I didn't know that happened. Like when I first started real estate, I didn't know there were slow times mm-hmm. and what to expect during the slow times.
Your other slow time is Thanksgiving to the New Year. You'll have a few weeks in between there where there's some activity, but for the most part, we're winding down the year. People are gathering with family for the holidays and prepare for the new year.
The crazy thing is the last few years for me, my buyers and sellers have wanted to sell and buy between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so we were at crunch time getting them in the new house before Christmas, which is the most stressful time of the year anyway, to then add selling a house and buying a house at the same time. I mean, it all worked out. Everybody was happy, but.
Well, if you're their agent, they're not going to be stressed. The benefit towards potentially, if you're, especially from the seller mindset, if you're listing your house, you've got a pool of serious buyers. Because you're not really the lucky lose, or the looky lose. They might be lucky, but the people that are just casually looking or the nosy neighbors, they're not.
Not in the holiday time.
Holiday time, they got other things to focus on.
That's a good point. So you would probably have less showings during the holidays, mm-hmm. but more quality showings?
Quality showings of serious buyers, job relocation, or there's to move during that time of year, there's a serious, I don't know why it's happening as to why they're looking.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a negative thing to hit the market at that time as a seller. Same thing from the buyer. Maybe, you know, from the buyer's mindset, this person's selling their house. Maybe they're moving. They got a job relocation or something happened. That's the case always for a seller as to why they're looking to sell. But the holiday times, not necessarily a bad thing to either get a buyer to come look at your house or to be a seller and hit the market.
Yeah. And I think it depends on the house. I mean, if it's a house that's going to be in demand anyway, mm-hmm. you're going to sell it. I mean, it's hard to tell people, sellers, that your house is not going to be in demand. If there's 7 other houses just like yours for sale right now, you may not be selling so quickly unless you're marketing it or doing something different than those other houses are doing.
Right.
But, I mean, that's where a good agent comes in.
That's where a seasoned vet, a knowledgeable agent, someone that's not, I don't know.
I think think people who are not afraid to take chances in the market, like I it sounds weird, but I've seen a lot of agents who, okay, this is the ABC of listing a house. And so they do ABC and expect DEF to happen. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen right now. What's always worked isn't working now.
And every house, it's going to be different. Every transaction is going to have its own set of challenges, and cookie cutter approach gets cookie cutter results. But where you really shine as an agent is to come up with those creative solutions, think outside the box, really listen to your client and work with them. Because sometimes the answer, they'll tell you, it's, you got to listen to the situation, you got to hear what they're saying, and they'll give you, I guess, a black swan when they're talking to you that you pick up and say, okay, I know how to solve this problem now.
Is there, can you think of a time that you had a unique situation that had to have a unique solve? You know what I mean? Like, it was not necessarily a problem, because not selling a house isn't necessarily a problem, but there might be a unique situation where you had to do something different than you've ever done before. Or something. Okay, so this is, I don't typically do this, and I know a ton of agents who do, but one house I was going to do Facebook marketing. Like, I know people do a ton of Facebook marketing, but I'm talking, like, I went into all the marketplaces, and I put the house in there. When you start putting a house in marketplace, you are welcoming, like, all the yard sale folks, yep, all their comments. And the crazy, like, the comments were horrendous. Like, literally one of them told me I was the reason we have homeless people in our country right now.
That's awesome.
Because I overpriced the house so bad that I'm causing people to be homeless. I mean, it was that kind of, you know, but social media comes.
You're that powerful?
I am.
You control the markets? Wow.
Not just the market. I am controlling all of economy, apparently. Me pricing one house. But anyway, because that happened, though, at first it, like, blew up, and it was crazy comments of arguing of what was happening. But I realized that gave me more traction on that house, because then people were trying to see what the arguments were. I didn't argue with anybody. I didn't even respond to anything. They were attacking each other. The funniest one was one of the people told me I overpriced it and why she thought I overpriced it. And so I was, oh my gosh, this person must be an expert. They must know things. So I go to their profile to see what they do for a living. They're a pole dancing instructor.
That's awesome.
It's always nice to get your career advice.
I thought it was going to be that or a butterfly therapist. Yeah,
so. A goat yoga instructor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I really thought maybe she's a mortgage expert. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's really criticizing because she knows. No, she just teaches on the pole.
Well, I saw on HGTV. Well, thanks, Dolores, but that's, you know.
I wish real estate was HGTV. Television. You get three houses to look at, and you got to buy one. I want to be that agent.
Yeah.
And your budget is $4,000 million. Like, that's.
Come on.
Then one is like a yoga instructor, and one works from home, yeah, teaching Pilates. Like,
our budget's 2.5.
Right.
Okay.
We would like to have a view from every window in our house.
You missed every day of math class. Yeah.
Oh, so we talked a little bit about the sellers and unique stuff, but buyers are on a whole different spectrum because they have a lot to think about. Sellers, they have things to think about, but really it's just a matter of getting the house ready. Mm-hmm. Buyers, especially right now, coming out of COVID and everything shifting, are somewhat terrified. I don't know about your buyers, but some of mine are like super nervous about what's happening right now.
There's a lot. We got a bunch of people that want to listen to the news, and the 5-second blip when they get home and turn on the news, they hear, you know, all the fear that's being blasted out, and rate, you know, that's all they get. And instead of having a conversation with a seasoned veteran realtor that can put them in contact with a seasoned loan officer, they can put it into context and give some explanation as to what's really going on. I think that's where we set ourselves apart. But I think rates are hovering around 7% right now. So that's got a lot of people fearful, because during 2020 to midway through 22, you know, all they heard was 2%, right? And right now they're looking at 6.897, depending on credit score and their individual debt-to-income ratio. But that's kind of got him at pause. You're still having some inventory issues depending on city, town, neighborhood. What else?
Well, I think when we probably need to do a whole episode on first-time homebuyers and, like, things to, like, debt-to-income ratio, because so many people have
that's
no
idea.
That's
like a 7-week course is first-time homebuyers. Yeah, we can unpack that.
It's because there's so much of it that and I think it's important to, one, have a lender who can explain this stuff to you. Like, if you're wanting to buy, you need a lender you trust, and then have a realtor that who can explain stuff. Like, if you don't understand your lender, at least the realtor knows enough to give you some clarity on it. But they've got to be people you trust,
absolutely,
for sure.
You know, this industry is definitely built on relationships, and the veterans are still doing it and still in this industry for a reason. Is they're knowledgeable, they know what they're talking about, and they have the right connections to put a buyer in the right room, so to speak, with a knowledgeable expert. And that's, I just had a conversation on the way here to the office this morning with the lender, and I've got a buyer right now that's just rate driven. He's rate focused, which isn't bad. And at the end of the day, it's his call who he wants to choose. But this is someone that I helped previously buy a house 3 years ago, and he's locked in at a 2.6, and it's kind of hard to leave. He's rate driven, so he's interviewed three lenders. And anyone out there buying a house, by all means, talk to one lender. Obviously, but two is preferred, and I think three is a good pool to kind of gauge what the market's really doing.
And you can pull your credit three times in a month, and it only counts as one hit.
I think it's 30 days.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm not saying like just January, but it's 30 days of when you pull.
Yeah, from the initial pull, you can. So it's like when you go buy a car, if you go inquire at the BMW dealership, you've got 30 days to go for an auto inquiry, I believe, from my understanding, and I could be totally making this up, but from my understanding, go to the Mercedes dealership, go to Audi, go to wherever to see who can give you the best deal for a vehicle. Same thing with mortgage. So if you inquire with a mortgage lender, go talk to your local bank, maybe you want a credit union, but everyone's got their pros and cons, right? So an independent mortgage lender, they're like a SEAL Team 6. They're going to get in, get out. They're going to do it quick and efficient, and they can get the job done. Whereas in my experience, the credit unions, the bigger banks, they're going to take a few days longer. They'll drag you across the finish line. They'll get there, but it may come with a little more stress and angst. So
and I honestly didn't even buying and stuff, like until I got into this industry, I didn't understand the difference in that. That when you work with a loan officer with a team outside of a bank with a mortgage company.
Independent lender.
Yeah, like they are a team working for you. So if you're at 7 o'clock at night, you can text them, they're gonna help you then.
The good ones will.
Yeah, if you are working with a loan officer at the bank, 5 o'clock, you're done.
Bye. Talk to you tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Yeah, I had a buyer who's like adamant that they wanted to use their bank because the rate was better. It was like 0.5% better. And they're like, but that's a ton of money. And I totally respect whatever choice they want to do. But they were losing out on offers of houses.
Yes.
Because we couldn't get the banker to talk to us after 5 o'clock on a Friday. And if we're going to put an offer in on Saturday, we can't get them. Then we're stuck. And so we were losing offers, and they actually end up switching to an independent lender just for that reason.
Absolutely. And going back to the comment, not all lenders, you know, not all real estate agents are built the same. Not all lenders are. So there's some companies out there, Torpedo Mortgage, I won't say the actual one I'm thinking of up there in Ohio, Michigan, but they have advertisements everywhere, and they're just pulling college kids. You know, it's the first job. Right out of college, they'll take anything they can get, and they're monkeys on a keyboard. They're just going by guidelines, telling you what they need to tell you to get their business. Once they lock you in, it's going to be painful. It's going to be a long, drawn-out process, whereas you get a knowledgeable, seasoned vet that's local, they're going to look at it, have them compare apples to apples. If it's a 6.8 with the local lender that's experienced and knows what they're doing versus like a 6.3, the payment in your mortgage is minimal, right? To know that you're going to get the house and close on time, which is big.
Well, and then, I mean, with most loans, you within 6 months to a year with good payment history, you just refinance it.
Absolutely.
I mean,
so if the rates are hovering around 7 right now, if they're projected to go down in the future, maybe next year, maybe 6 months, I don't know, but just refinance.
Mm-hmm.
But at least you got the house, your dream house. Or
yeah. And speaking of refinance, talk to your lender about that. Mm-hmm. You said they're different. Some of them actually have programs like that where you can refinance for free. And so ask what programs they have. Find out
free,
what.
Free.
Yeah. Supposed to be free. But, I mean, ask what they got. Like some, in North Carolina, there are grants and there are first-time home buyers assistance. And there are just grants for folks buying at all.
Right.
But not all lenders are partners with that.
Yeah.
And so if you're with a lender who does not offer that, and then you start going into the buying process, you're like, oh, well, I could have had $8,000 in closing credit. Well, you went with the wrong lender.
Yeah.
So that's a good question to ask lenders. What they offer, like mm-hmm. incentives that they offer. Some of lenders right now are even waiving some fees.
Appraisal fee, huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which appraisals run anywhere from 500 to 700.
It fluctuates, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's a big gap, mm-hmm. but that's really how it's. I've seen it. Some mm-hmm. of them have been more, but when you have a lender willing to pay that for you, that's a big deal.
Absolutely.
Because lenders require it.
Yep.
I mean, it's to protect you, but if it's a required fee that they're going to cover for you, that's kind of an incentive to
Absolutely.
Go with them. What other questions would you ask? This has become a whole lender episode, apparently.
Apparently. We just go where the conversation takes us.
Still improv. What other questions would you recommend asking a lender? Or what would you ask a lender?
So, anytime I hear free as a consumer, mm-hmm. Hand raise. Please clarify, Mr. and Ms. Salesman.
The red flag.
Yeah, red flag. Because what is free? Is it, am I paying more upfront now
mm-hmm.
to be able to have that free, air quotes, refinance, whether it's within 24 months from closing, 5 years?
Yeah.
Any time indefinitely in the future, what are the stipulations? What are the terms?
Yeah.
Because, again, let's try to have as much of a apples-to-apples conversation. Because when on paper, if you had the conversations with each lender and try to get rate, any credits, appraisal fee waived.
Well, you see all the billboards. They're like, no closing cost. No closing cost. And so I get that all the time. Well, I want to go with this one I saw on this billboard because there's no closing cost. Your cost is somewhere.
Somewhere.
That's how those folks get paid. So you're going to be paying that somewhere.
Where'd you stuff it?
Yeah.
Where's it hidden?
It's like a hidden fee of like, oh, no, that's not a closing cost. That's a loan processing fee.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a closing cost. They just disguised it with another name.
Yes.
I mean, it's a closing cost that identifies as another fee.
Absolutely. So.
Yeah. It's anything that's a promise to get you in. If it's clickbait,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Because even all those grants and all the programs have stipulations.
Yes.
So ask what the stipulations are.
So like the grant, there was one in North Carolina that, hey, we'll give you 10 grand, but you're also agreeing to live there
mm-hmm.
at that property for 10 years. Now, if you were to move, let's say after year 3, the remainder of that 7-year grant, you're paying back to the state of North Carolina. So little things like that
yeah.
you got to get clarified. And that's, again, bringing in a experienced agent that's going to point those things out, ask the right questions, and be your advocate, walk with you through this process, which I know you and I are both here for. But just ask questions.
Well, and it requires us to stay up on it too.
Mm-hmm.
Like we are the one, we have to be looking at all the details, because when our clients come to us like, oh no, I'm going to get $35,000 and all these grants and stuff. Well, that also means you have to have this credit score. You have to have this much down. Mm-hmm. You have to be willing. Like I just had some folks who wanted all of the down payment stuff. Well, then that meant their monthly payment was going to be higher
mm-hmm.
because if you get all the assistance, your interest rate's going to be higher because you are considered a risky loan
right.
because you're putting nothing down to it. And so people don't understand that. Like, why is my payment so high?
Right.
Because you want all the money up front.
Exactly. So where, and then Mr. Ms. Buyer, where are you going to allocate the money? Do you want to come out 10 grand? Well, I don't have the 10 grand. Well, now your monthly payment's going to be higher just like that. But understand this lender can get you in the house now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a goal to refinance when rates drop in a year or 2 years. I don't know. Some people might be rolling their eyes and saying, refinance in a year, that's too soon. Everyone's situation's different, of course. I blanket statement, hey, it's situational here, people. Don't shoot the messenger. But maybe you can buy time and make that payment for 3 years. Maybe you're going to get a raise in 16 months that you know is coming.
Yeah.
And you can make it and refinance then. I don't know. But it's situational.
It really is. And I think that's where the cookie cutter loan officers and cookie cutter agents don't work. If they just want to do ABC like they've always done, they don't work for especially this market. Because from everything I've been told and everybody, this isn't the same way as it used to be. So you can't do the same A, B's, and C's mm-hmm. that you've done for 20 years.
You're just going to blend in with the old mindset out there, I think.
Yeah. So the veterans are good. Not that they're not great, but they're happy the veterans who are willing to learn what's new
mm-hmm.
and stay up with the market and willing to do that so they can advocate for the buyers even better.
Absolutely.
All right, so we're coming up on 22 minutes. Oh, my gosh, we're so late.
Forever.
Oh, my gosh.